happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, adjusting my screen to be at the same level as Andy.
We're coming to you via StreamYard this week. Another week, another 50 outrages. Should we go into the headlines?
Sure.
Trump is now threatening, you've probably heard this, not to sign any more legislation at all unless Congress passes his anti-trans, sexist, and racist voter suppression bill.
And meanwhile, Trump's nominee for Department of Homeland Security, the new guy, is an anti-LGBTQ crusader. Why is this even a headline?
The hate state of Florida steps up its war on women, people of color, and LGBTQ people.
I think we ought to put these headlines on a loop and just run them every week. Tennessee, Texas, Missouri, and New Hampshire are taking up new bills to torture us.
But we had a win in Ohio in the court for trans youth.
And we had kind of a win in California where the anti-virulently, historically homophobic, anti-LGBTQ Daryl Issa has retired from Congress, opening the seat to perhaps our bisexual friend there, just to the LGBTQ Democrats.
We mourn this week an old friend and ally in New York politics and civic life, Ronnie Eldridge. She was an ally of ours for more than 50 years, and she's died at 95.
And we also mourn gay radio pioneer Greg Gordon of This Way Out.
And we'll tell you about a documentary on a real-life gay pro hockey player that will be streaming in June. I have a little survey I'd like to do with our viewers, if you don't mind. We are interested in how you discovered Gay USA. Just tell us how you found out about the show and started watching. And you can email me at andy@gayusatv.org.
Yeah, so, you know, were you channel flipping? Did someone recommend it? What happened? We just are trying to get a little information.
We want to know you better.
God knows you know us. How is your health, Andy?
I'm okay. I see a lot of doctors, but I'm all right. I'm ambulatory. And I'll see you at Ronnie Eldridge's memorial service this afternoon.
Yes, you will.
But, this week was International Women's Day, and Rise and Resist, bless them, demonstrated at Trump Tower. Look at this. Listen to the women. International Women's Day, it's about listening to the women, especially on the sexual harassment and Epstein case. There they were.
Rise and Resist has been out there at Trump Tower and at Fox News for years now, calling attention to all their sins and lies and horrible actions. And they've done a great job, and they're continuing to. And they want us all to join them on March 28th, Saturday, for the third No Kings Day, which will be all over the country. We're hoping and expecting it to be much, much bigger than even the first two. It's time to get out in the streets, create that critical mass that will have some effect on some people in the government, if not the fearless leader.
He is
fearless.
If you want to find an action near you, and there is one near you.
Yes.
Just Google No Kings Day, March 28th, and a map, big map comes up, zero in on it, find your town. Because there's a lot to object to here. You know, the House Republicans this week, they introduced a sweeping federal bill that seeks to censor the existence of transgender people students and teachers in public schools nationwide. It would ban the schools from developing, implementing, facilitating, hosting, or promoting anything that includes sexually oriented material, by which they mean anything involving gender dysphoria or transgenderism.
This is the sweeping and sweeping the nation attempt really to erase trans people, intersex people, non-binary people. They just want to go right backwards, however many hundreds of years, to nothing but white Christian men. And even
you mean like primarily the majority of the cabinet?
Yes. Trump just gratuitously slipped anti-trans stuff into his now priority bill, the Save America Act. It was the Save Act.
Trump Act is what it is.
Well, it started out as SAVE, which was an acronym for something, and he didn't like that, so he made it Save America Act. So it has five things. It has, you must be, you have to have an ID, picture ID to register. You have to be a citizen to register, and you have to prove that with a birth certificate or a passport, which not everybody has, and no mail-in voting with a few exceptions. And then he said, well, you know, let's throw in a few other things. No trans men, girls in women's sports. And what was the other one? No surgeries for trans.
No transgender bodies. Mutilation for children. Do not fail. But then he throws in one of his posts, unless they have express approval of the parents, which drove Marjorie Taylor Greene crazy. You have betrayed the... Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Obviously, he doesn't know what he's doing in this war, which is, you know, upending the whole world. I mean, just to give you a small example about increase in prices, I'm booked to go to London this summer. I made my reservation. My friend did it a week later. Because of all this, it's 50% higher airfare. Because
uh-oh.
50% higher.
Well, he's crazy about things. He says, yeah, it must have been someone else who bombed the girls' school in Tehran. And reporters say, what are you talking about? And he says, well, you know, other countries have Tomahawk missiles, too. And they say, but why are you the only one saying this? And he says, and I quote, because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah. Oh, except
no one says to him, then why are you saying anything?
And the report did come out this week, and it says, we did it.
Of course we did it. Of course. Now, presumably we did it by mistake, but he's an idiot. Anyway, he says...
Democrats are holding firm against the SAVE Act, and John Thune, the Republican leader of the Senate, says, I'm not going to get rid of the filibuster to do this. So that's where we are. In the meantime, Trump isn't going to sign any legislation, so I think we're going to have to use the auto pen.
With the Democrats holding firm, the act requires 60 votes, and that means some Democrats. And that means the only way for him to pass it is to get rid of the filibuster, which is what the Democrats are leaning on now, to bring it down to you only need a majority vote. No one, including the Republicans, this is John Thune as the majority leader, is willing to get rid of the filibuster because they know that if they get rid of it for this, it's going to come back to bite them. Also, they're going to be forced to pass legislation they don't want to pass. They can they have the excuse of the filibuster now not to pass all his crazy stuff. So they're at a stalemate, and he's threatening not to sign any other legislation. And you think we're at a stalemate now, it's going to get much worse.
And without waiting for any legislation, they're doing a big foster care rollback, undoing stuff that Biden did, which said, you know, if you're going to take a kid into foster care, you can't be somebody who discriminates against people on the basis of a lot of things, including LGBTQ. So they're now saying that's not the rule anymore. That's against religious freedom not to put LGBTQ kids in anti-gay homes.
Yeah, although I do have some hesitation about wanting to put LGBTQ kids in anti-LGBTQ.
We don't want that. That's why we had a rule about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, It goes down to the trivial for Trump in terms of how obsessed he is. He even is now imposing certain kinds of Florsheim black shoes on all of his cabinet members. Why? Because he told a lot of them, you've got sissy shoes, and I don't like it. And he would ask them their shoe size. And then he says, you can tell a lot about a man by his shoe size.
And then he sends them the Florsheim shoes.
Yes. Hegseth,
Defense Secretary Hegseth is famous for wearing very stylish brown shoes, and including to the return of the dead soldiers ceremony last weekend. We'll see whether he shows up in the Florsheim black shoes.
I don't criticize anybody's footwear. But
I'm not criticizing it. I'm saying he's a lot more stylish than Trump.
Happy to get rid of Kristi Noem, but the new Homeland Security nominee, Mark Wayne Mullen, he's a guy who led Republican colleagues in urging the Biden administration to remove sexual orientation and gender identity from support services and nutrition programs for seniors, among many other anti-gay initiatives. And he's a big anti-abortion activist.
He also serves on the Air Force Board of Visitors, where he is now joined by Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie Kirk. She is taking Charlie's seat on the Air Force Board of Visitors. Now, we have talked last week and often about the religiosity of this military academy. And the Board of Visitors is packed with people who are, I'm sure, promoting a religious bent to their work.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to applaud the Center for Constitutional Rights, longstanding great public interest law firm. They are suing the Trump administration for documents and files on their pattern of assault on trans and intersex people. They have demanded all the background materials on how all this started and what the plan is here by the administration. The government has refused to hand over files, and it's not unlike the Epstein file situation where there is a trove of material to be found that will reveal what conversation has taken place about trans and intersex people in the administration.
Well, they're also being sued. Doge is being sued, and there have been depositions going on. These are the people who cut everything using AI, basically, to hunt down gays and blacks and Jews and everybody else they don't like. And they're not doing very well in their depositions. I mean, and of course, the thing they went after the most was LGBTQ. That's the craziest stuff, they said. So that was easy to go after, you know. So they got rid of all these programs. So the people who were defunded, who were legally funded, are suing.
And back to the Department of Defense, 30 members of the House of Representatives have sent a letter to them blasting the Christian theology at the Department of Defense. They, under Hegseth, they hold monthly worship services in the auditorium of the Department of Defense during working hours and broadcast streamed internally on their network. And they have Christian nationalist pastors, not just Christians, but Christians only, but Christian nationalist pastors giving sermons in these theological sessions at the Department of Defense.
Well, if only they really worshiped the Jesus, the Prince of Peace, they could rename it the Department of Peace. But that's not what they're doing. They're very into war.
Yeah. One correction from last week. I said that the upcoming White House Correspondents' Dinner would feature not a comedian, as is traditional, but a magician. I was wrong. It's not a magician. It's a mentalist who will be reading everyone's mind.
I will not be tuning in.
Well, it's not till April 25th. You might change your mind. Congratulations to those who pressed for the release of the missing Epstein files about the 13-year-old girl that Trump sexually assaulted and then physically assaulted. Those papers have come out and, in fact, confirm everything she has said. And the question now is, what are they going to do about it? And congratulations.
They're going to do about it. They're going to bomb Iran.
Yeah. Congratulations to the head of the National Symphony Orchestra, who is the latest to quit her job so that she doesn't have to perform at the Trump Kennedy Center.
Well, which is only supposed to go on until June. All right. There was some election news in North Carolina. The state's most prominent anti-transgender Democrat, Nassif Majid, fell to a progressive challenger who's very pro-LGBT. He lost by 40 points. That's how Democrats want to get rid of these people.
Yes, and thank heavens they're showing up to do so.
It's happening all over the state. And then the Texas U.S. Senate primaries for Democrats have been settled. James Tallarico, the devout Christian, but who supports trans rights, is the Democratic nominee. And he will run either against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who's a complete monster, and John Cornyn. They're in a runoff. They're on the Republican side.
And also in a runoff in Texas for the House of Representatives are the incumbent, Julie Johnson, in the congressional seat, out lesbian, who replaced Colin Allred when he decided to quit the House and start a Senate campaign. He has gone back to wanting that seat back, and he's a good progressive, but it's trying to take the seat back from the lesbian Julie Johnson. The polls show him in the lead. We're still a long way off, but they are in a runoff primary for the to run for the seat.
When are people going to say the Republicans are too extreme? We say it on this show every week. But in Tennessee, a Republican named Monty Fritz has been condemned because he openly called for the state to execute the parents and guardians of transgender youngsters. Now, this guy is a 62-year-old candidate for governor, and he made it on a Christian nationalist podcast. It's just, shoo.
And we have a whole list more of those. But meanwhile, a slight detour back to politics, now getting really local. In our congressional district here in New York City, there are, a dozen people running for the Democratic nomination. And name recognition is winning out at the moment. Jack Schlossberg, the son of Carolyn Kennedy and Ed Schlossberg, is first in the polls at 25%.
And 25% can win you the race when you've got 12 candidates. So
exactly.
There
are primaries in
a whole host
June.
Of candidates, including at least one LGBTQ person left. All right. In Ohio, a three-judge panel for the 10th District Court of Appeals ruled that gender-affirming care for minors constitutes an essential medical treatment for trans youth, and the ban on that care is a violation of the state constitution.
Stunning. Really fantastic news. Really good.
Because they have a health care freedom amendment in that state, which, says that you can't deny essential health care.
But in Kansas, a court was asked to issue a temporary restraining order against implementation of the anti-trans bill that's taking away everyone's driver's licenses and birth certificates. And
1,700 people got notices. Your license is no longer valid. You can't drive. Come in, bring your original birth certificate, and maybe we'll give you one.
The court refused the temporary restraining order, so people are relying on friends and neighbors to give them a ride.
In better news, the Pennsylvania House, which is narrowly House of Representatives, narrowly controlled by Democrats, they passed a whole raft of LGBTQ bills, the basic rights, LGBTQ rights bill, a whole bunch of other things. And these things are all passing in the House. But, of course, the Senate in Pennsylvania is 27 to 23 Republican. So the prospects of those bills becoming law, even with a Democratic governor, are not good.
In Florida, they have passed their major DEI bill.
Anti-DEI.
I'm getting to that. That forbids local counties and cities and towns from enacting any DEI, any protections, anything, including, Black History Month or Pride Month. Now, they did a little carve out. They said the Pulse Memorial can continue. Will, if they're dead, we'll continue to allow you to mention them. But otherwise, no. Now, they also will allow Pride Fests. They're exempted, although I'll wait to see how that plays out. But it wipes out all local non-discrimination laws.
I mean, that's breathtaking.
It is.
Republicans who always were for local control, right down to the school district, right? Well, local control, not now.
Situational ethics. That's fascism.
And New Hampshire, which is, you don't think of it as an illiberal state, but they do have a Republican-controlled House. They voted 181 to 164 to pass legislation that allows schools, government buildings, and some businesses to restrict bathrooms and locker rooms based on sex assigned at birth rather than gender identity. And it now goes to the state Senate. Kelly Ayotte, who's the Republican governor, has vetoed some of these bills in the past, but we don't know what she's going to do on this one.
But we'll be watching. In Indiana, a court has ruled that abortion can be protected, reproductive rights can be protected as religious expression. Some doctors sued and said, it is part of our religious practice to help women who want or need an abortion. And we think if you're going to cover, the religious rights of the right wing, you should also be expanding that to everyone who has any kind of value system.
Because Indiana has a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the judge stated the abortion law would allow a plaintiff to seek an abortion if her pregnancy were the result of rape, but not if it were mandated by her religious beliefs. The state has not justified, this differential treatment.
Last week, we were applauding Scouting America for standing up to the Trump administration and saying that they were going to continue to have trans scouts, and they were not going to change back to being the Boy Scouts of America. But this week, they are suing a travel agency called Queer Scout because it contains the name Scout, and they don't like it. Now we're back to the U.S. Olympic Committee suing the Gay Olympics because they didn't like that name, and it has henceforth been the Gay Games. Now, there are the Gay Barbecue Olympics. There are not the Gay Barbecue Olympics. There are the Barbecue Olympics. There are Dog Olympics. There are all sorts of Olympics. But the USOC singled out the Gay Olympics for a lawsuit. And now Scouting America is suing Queer Scout travel agency.
I guess we know where we stand with the IOC and the hierarchy.
Well, this is the USOC. Now the IOC is no friendlier.
Back to the hate state of Tennessee. They are taking up 13 anti-LGBTQ bills. We will keep you posted on them. They want to essentially ban the Bostock decision of the Supreme Court, which said you can't discriminate against LGBTQ people in employment. And they want to sort of do a workaround to say, oh, yes, you can in Tennessee.
Well, I got a couple more fun stories from Florida. Public schools in Florida will now be mandated to teach a course created by the Heritage Foundation to teach against communism. It is You go to public school in Florida, and you will be learning an anti-communist worldview from the Heritage Foundation.
Well, okay. You know, we have a
almost makes you want to enroll.
Have a social.
And also, at the college level, all college sociology texts have been ruled illegal, because they mention disparities in race, sex, gender, whatever. That this is the texts have posited that perhaps like differences in wages between men and women might have something to do with stigma or sexism. And the college board covering this says, oh, no, you can't say that, because really it's all about the biological differences between men and women. That's why there are wage disparities.
Back in Tennessee, in Nashville, an elementary school teacher is claiming victory. His school agreed, well, okay, you don't have to read the book about two gay dads to your students. It was a book with two gay dads. Stella Brings the Family. I refuse to read a book that had two fathers on the cover and one daughter. I believe that is not what God designed a marriage to be and a family to be. I mean, it's not like they're having sex or molesting the child or anything. It's a perfectly innocent story which reflects some of the kids in the classroom and that all the kids need to know about. But he won his case.
Look, where do they draw the line? If there were such a thing as a deity, why would that deity be distinguishing? You would have to give the deity credit for creating everything,
right,
including books about two dads and a daughter.
We were covering the Republican convention once for this for gay cable network, and I wasn't doing the interview. Eddie Anderson was, and there was this Christian fundamentalist woman. And Ed goes, well, what are you saying, madam? Like, God didn't create us? She goes, God didn't create you. God doesn't make junk. We have it on tape. All right. How about the Florida Young Republican vile bigotry? I mean, another group.
Wow.
These guys exposed. These guys, they use the N-word 400 times. They described women as whores, and they used slurs about Jewish and gay people, and they were very amused by Hitler's politics. And these are people who are in groups like Turning Point USA, College Republicans, etc.
It's really shocking
to be taught by Black professors.
Yeah. And it's so overt. It's just, there's nothing subtle about it. It's just right out there.
You know, they're all like, you know, one of the pardoned insurrectionists, Andrew Paul Johnson, who was pardoned by Epstein pal Donald Trump. He was sentenced to life in prison for molesting two children in Florida. He told one of his victims, I expect to be compensated for being pardoned for the January 6th stuff. And, would be willing to put you in my will with the leftover money.
I wish someone would ask Trump about this. Is he just going to say, well, there are always a few rotten apples in any bunch? It's blah.
All right. Come on, Ann. Give us the update on the San Diego race.
All right. So California 48 congressional district. A lot of Democrats vying to get nominated in the rewritten congressional district, California redistricted.
San Diego to Palm Springs, right?
Yes. And the district was reconfigured in an attempt to get rid of the hideous Daryl Issa, who is a longtime monster in Congress.
Just look at him.
He's a monster. So Daryl is jumping the gun. He has now announced he is retiring from Congress because he realizes he can't win in this new district. So he's going at the end of his term. And meanwhile, he's endorsed a guy who looks a little younger and friendlier, which scares me because we want a Democrat elected there. it would be nice if our friend Marnie von Wilpert got won the nomination in the primary in June. But certainly a Democrat who can beat Daryl Issa. Marnie is positioned for that, but we'll see what happens.
And we should say there are two other LGBTQ candidates. One of them is Amar Kampa Najjar, who's married to U.S. Representative Sarah Jacobs, and Stephen Clemens, who is campaigning.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Amar is married, but is an LGBTQ candidate? I don't think so.
Representative Sarah Jacobs. Well, I don't know. That's what it says here.
Well, that's confusing. Marnie,
we know. I apologize. She's an LBG. I apologize. I'm mixing it up. There isn't. That's wrong. But there is Stephen Clemens, who's an out LGBTQ candidate, and Ferguson Porter, an LGBTQ entrepreneur in Palm Springs. But we know our friend Marnie von Wilpert,
who is leading in the polls in that race. And goodbye, good riddance to Daryl Issa. Marnie was quoted as calling it welcome news that Issa is stepping aside.
Right.
All right. We'll let you know what happens there.
I apologize about mixing up gay people and straight people, but you know, whatever you are, I accept you.
Okay. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, a non-binary student was attacked by classmates at school, and they were suspended. The attacked student was suspended and is now suing the school district for that suspension.
Let's go to Queens. The St. Pat's for All parade has been going on since 2000. This was done because we used to be banned from the Fifth Avenue parade. And we have a picture from Donna Aceto here. It was honoring our late LGBTQ ally, Malachi McCourt. Kate Mulgrew is one of the grand marshals. The mayor, out gay mayor of Belfast, Mickey Murray, showed up again. Everybody had a great time.
That's always a great parade. And hallelujah to Brendan and Kathleen who put it together. In Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs, Democrat, has vetoed a bill that actually was passed in the legislature to give funds to Turning Point from license plate fees.
Yes.
Wow. All right. It's Wow Week at KUSA.
Should we do some crime news?
Sure.
Okay. In Oregon, a man was sentenced to more than 12 years in prison for the near fatal assault of a gay man in 2021. The guy's name is Daniel McGee. He was 22 years old at the time, is charged with a federal hate crime, for which he can be pardoned by Donald Trump, of course. He savagely beat a gay man after meeting him on Grindr. This, of course, is a cautionary tale about meeting people on Grindr or meeting anybody who you don't know, who don't meet in a neutral place. And, you know, but he beat the guy with a tire thumper, a wooden club similar to a billy club, tempted to gouge his eyes out. We could go on. He pled guilty. He was sentenced to just 151 months in federal prison for this.
Yeah. And in L.A., there's a follow-up on Ed Buck, the guy who lured a white privileged Democratic Party operative there in the middle, who lured a lot of black men to his apartment for sex parties on meth.
That's Timothy Dean on the right there. And
Jamel Moore on the right, or am I confused? So Timothy Dean on the left, Jamel Moore on the right, both killed in Buck's apartment. And Buck has now been ordered to pay $2 million to the mother of Jamel Moore for this death, this murder.
This is her son every day. Son Buck is in prison for 30 years. In Queens, a 37-year-old guy has been sentenced to 39 years in prison for killing his life partner. We told you about this case back in 2020. He killed the guy, set the apartment on fire, created a chaotic crime scene. he is been sentenced.
And you want to tell us about the Alexander brothers?
Yeah, I do, if I can find it. Yes. Okay. So these are serial rapists who, you know, rich guys in real estate who just, you know, raped an awful lot of women. But notice in all the stories, I mean, so they've been convicted and they could face life in prison. But notice in none of the stories does it say that they were heterosexual or that they are cisgender. Of course, the right wing is obsessed with eliminating what they call the trans threat to women. And that's what we've been telling you about on the show, the red state legislature. So concerned about women. These are the perpetrators of violence against women. You know, the United States is the perpetrators of violence against little girls going to school in Tehran. So, you know, it goes on and on and on. But they've been sentenced. But Rob Shooter reports that they're using their real estate connections to try to get a pardon from Trump.
We'll see what happens, but I'd like to think that even Trump would not be stupid and vicious enough to let these guys off. Well, we'll see. Meanwhile, even Joe Rogan, the podcaster who is slowly coming to his senses about a number of things, says that cis men are the real problem, not trans women.
Although in the course of this conversation where he acknowledges that cis men are the problem, he called transgender people effing perverts and blamed them for committing most school shootings. So he hasn't come around completely.
Utter lies.
Of course.
But they have jumped on this. And again, they're just creating fiction to fulfill their own bigotry.
In Texas, a judge sentenced a 25-year-old San Antonio resident, Jer Auntie Pleasant, to 200 years in prison. I don't think he's going to be able to serve at all for murdering two men that he met via Grindr. He killed 54-year-old Larry Wilson and 22-year-old Joseph West. Again, caution when you agree to meet someone, you know, for sex or anything else, meet them at a neutral place. You know, don't just trust that. Don't trust people that way.
And tell your friends, make this an ethic in your friend group. All right. Are we ready to?
There was a huge party for the 95th birthday of monster press baron, Rupert Murdoch, only the good die young. It was very sad to see Hugh Jackman headlining this event. He's been an ally and things, but, you know, the self-hating Barry Diller was there, you know, and the morally bankrupt Tony Blair as well.
Enough about that. Let's talk about someone who was good, who did not die young. And that was our very good friend, Ronnie Eldridge, who died last week at the age of 95. She was an extremely important person in political circles in New York, in media circles, and just as a friend to all, and particularly to the LGBTQ community.
Her early work was involved in, like, the peace movement, in the Dump Johnson movement, rid of Lyndon Johnson, against the war, those kinds of things. So in 1970... the Democrats for mayor nominated a right winger, and she supported the Republican for re-election, a liberal Republican, John Lindsay, and she went to work for him. And that story was written by Gloria Steinem about how Ronnie Eldridge is the one who should be the mayor, because she was like one of the only women, you know, in the cabinet there, and she did such a wonderful job there, and.
She had worked with Bobby Kennedy, the real Bobby Kennedy, and Lindsay, and a lot of Democratic movers and shakers. And I was pondering today how she got involved in all that. And the real answer, I think, is that she started by volunteering, working in campaigns and offices, and gradually showed herself to be the smart, committed, thoughtful, analytical person she was, and she accrued more and more power in that way and became someone that these guys really leaned on for advice. And as she said, I think in that story, The Dump Johnson movement started in her living room on the Upper West Side, where they got together to discuss how to get rid of him.
She eventually got elected to the New York City Council. Oh, first of all, when she's in the Lindsay office, she is one of the first people meeting with gay activists, like Mark Rubin from the Gay Teachers Association, Alan Roscoff from the Gay Activists Alliance, and helping them with the problems with the city in terms of raiding bars and things like that. She was
mad at Lindsay, 1970,
right after Stonewall.
They were mad at Lindsay because they thought he was actually homophobic. I watched an interview that Ronnie did with Alan Roscoff where he explains how homophobic Lindsay was. And
even though he had a gay brother.
Please, as if that makes a difference all the time. So, but Ronnie agreed to meet with the gay activists and then tried to do something about it. And eventually Lindsay issued an executive order that gave some non-discrimination protections. It took Andy and his crowd to eventually pass a gay rights bill years later. But Ronnie was in there pitching with the gay activists very, very early on. She was married to a guy named Larry Eldridge at that point, but he died, and she ended up in a second marriage with the extremely cranky Jimmy Breslin, famous columnist. There they are. That's a lovely picture of them. And they remained together until his death for many years. And Ronnie went on to get elected to the city council for a couple of terms where she did great work and defended everybody. And Bill Dobbs tells the story. That's a more recent picture. Bill Dobbs tells the story about how he used to go to her when ACT UP activists would get arrested, and she would help get them out of jail. She would call whoever was necessary, the police commissioner, the politicos, whomever, to get them released. And not every politician was willing to do that. Sometimes we'd call a politician and they just wouldn't want to get involved. But Ronnie just did not hesitate a second. She would pick up the phone and say, these are my people, let them out. And they would.
And of course, she for decades, she was doing a show on CUNY TV, a public affairs show. She interviewed everybody. She even interviewed us. You and me, 10 years ago, more
separately and together.
Yes, and we'll link to the one we did together in our email. You can get our email by going to gayusatv.org and sign up for our list, and we'll send you that link among others.
And then, at 95, when she died last week, she was still doing a show at CUNY TV called Keeping Relevant, and to Ronnie, that wasn't about her place in the world. It was about her keeping up with the world and everybody keeping up with the world, knowing what was going on, being curious. Ronnie's curiosity about everything, her commitment to asking questions, talking to everybody, was one of her most stellar qualities, that and her just fabulous personality and kindness and compassion. But she really was not interested in letting go. She wanted to stay involved, and she did right till the end.
And then we lost this week a gay radio pioneer, Greg Gordon. He was the co-founder of This Way Out with Lucia. I don't know if these are the founders, but the picture is with Lucia Chappelle and Cindy Friedman. And, he was dedicated to LGBTQ radio forever, going back to the 1970s. And we will share additional information about memorial plans as they become available. But this guy was a real pioneer. They're going to produce a memorial radio program about him there at This Way Out. He did interviews with Harvey Milk, back in the day in 1979. And
was continuing. He would contact us periodically to say, I like the way you discussed a particular issue. I want to use a clip of your show in our radio program. Is that okay with you? And he'd explain exactly what he was going to use. And we said, fine, great, by all means.
A dedicated colleague of in the LGBTQ media world. Okay.
Yes.
Where are we going?
So two giants. We're going to international news.
Talk about India.
Oh, well, in India, they've been having elections for parliament. And there are different parties, and they appoint candidates on their party slate. And then the slate gets elected to parliament. And that process has produced the first out lesbian member of the parliament in India, Menaka Guruswamy. Now, she is a lawyer who is extremely involved in the legalization of same-sex marriage in India a few years ago, very well known in India, and was named to the Time Magazine 100 a few years ago as someone important and prominent in India. But now she has become the first out LGBTQ person at all, certainly the first out lesbian elected to the India Parliament.
And in good news from Ukraine, although it's not about the war, sadly, a gay couple, Zoryan Kis and Timur Levchuk, the Supreme Court upheld the landmark ruling recognizing their de facto same-sex marriage. I think they got married in New York or something. But the problem, so a big ruling, it's a landmark ruling, but Ukrainian human rights organizations are warning that a new draft of the country's revised civil code threatens to nullify de facto marriages like this. So we have to keep an eye out for that.
In South Korea, the Human Rights Commission has okayed the creation of a foundation to support trans people. And they've named it after a soldier who was discharged from the military for being trans and having gender-confirming surgery.
Okay.
Unusual in South Korea.
We told you in Uganda about the two women who were arrested for same-sex activity for kissing each other. And they face...
in the street.
They face, I think, life in prison, life sentence. That's what they face. So Frank Mugisha, who is the executive director of Sexual Minorities Uganda, the group that you know says that this is a case that's deeply alarming and sends a horrible signal across the whole country. And so they are trying to stem the tide there. It's tough.
Also sending a terrible message in Russia. It turns out they're now holding secret trials, underground trials concerning LGBTQ people and issues. And they have, in one of these trials, barred the existence of a group called Coming Out. They've labeled it extremist. This is extremist. It provides legal and counseling services to LGBTQ people. The group says they will keep operating, but from outside the country.
A couple of London stories. Well, you know, they have the annual Commonwealth celebration at Westminster Abbey, where all the Commonwealth nations come in, the king and all the court go in. So 50 gay activists led by the Peter Tatchell Foundation, there's Peter towards the right there, but campaigners from Uganda, Bangladesh, and other Commonwealth nations are protesting because so many of the Commonwealth nations still have these horrible anti-gay laws. One of the signs says 29 out of the 56 countries jail LGBTQ people. So they heckled the king on his way in. And there were other protesters from what we would call Republican groups, anti-monarchist groups, which are going after the royal family for their handling of the Epstein scandal.
Yeah, they have a long list of complaints. They're also complaining that the UK is welcoming Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A is refusing to promise not to make donations to homophobic groups, which is also true here.
A breakthrough victory in Camden Town in London. You know, we've told you about the famous Black Cap Bar, which precedes Stonewall, you know, and everything. It's right there on the main street there. And it's been closed since about 2014. And there's been a campaign to reopen it. And they have finally succeeded. And I want to bring you a clip from Reverend Bernard Lynch, who lives there in Camden, who spoke at a 2015 demonstration, because this thing was won because people persisted. They didn't give up fighting to reopen the bar.
And it is inhuman, because you know and I know that transgendered crime, unfortunately, in our community, here in the borough of Camden, is at an all-time high. And this was one of the sanctuaries, this place, the cathedral of the drag queens. The drag queens to whom we owe our freedom.
Yeah!
From Stonewall to this very place today. And we, in the name of the drag queens and with the drag queens, we give thanks and we protest and we're going nowhere. As a people who love each other and who support each other,
right,
do justice and demand justice. Thank you very much for your support.
To all in that campaign, and that shows you what it takes to get something done. I mean, the developers wanted to turn it into luxury housing. You know, what a waste. So they prevailed. Also in the UK, one of the men who accused Kevin Spacey of sexual assault at his Old Vic Theatre has settled his suit against the theatre. But that accuser, Mr. Cannon, is Rory, is he's public, and he is still suing in court against Spacey personally, with two other accusers.
And not in the UK, but back in Milan, Italy, where the Paralympics are taking place, there are five out LGBTQ athletes participating from the US and the UK. And we'll keep an eye on how they perform, or you can go to outsports.com for updates on them.
Well, let's go to the U.S. Capitol, the Cannon Rotunda, where AIDS activists who are protesting cuts to PEPFAR, the international AIDS fund that has been cut drastically by the Trump administration. This was something initiated by Bush. They were there in the rotunda there protesting this, getting arrested. The funds for PEPFAR are being illegally withheld. You know, they're saying Congress has got to wake up and take back its authority and restore PEPFAR, among other things.
It's shameful.
Look at that banner. 200,000 have died since January when Trump took over because these funds have been cut. 200,000 people.
This is the new routine of the Trump administration, withholding funds, ignoring court orders, refusing orders to distribute funds or change practices. They just are running roughshod through the entire country, doing exactly what they want and ignoring anything that stands in their way. The court tells them they've illegally appointed an attorney general in a state. It takes like three court orders to get rid of that person. It's just shameful how they are creating their own law. And I think Hegseth said today something about, we're going to do what we want to do. No one can tell us what to do.
Yes, we're going to spend millions of dollars on lobster tails and pianos and whatever we want. You can't tell us what to do.
And billions every day in Iran in an illegal, crazy war.
But
billions.
We can't afford food stamps. And what's his name? Dr. Oz. Oh, we've got to get a bunch of people off the Affordable Care Act. They're not really eligible. We're going to get rid of them. I mean, this is the news today. But
all right.
Or armaments.
All right. So
Kevin news.
Yes, we need a break for a few minutes.
Well, we don't usually talk about the GLAAD Awards, but they did. But the award for best new series, not a big surprise, went to the Heated Rivalry crowd. There they all are, Jacob Tierney, you know, all the crew there. They won. But we have a footnote to the Heated Rivalry series I didn't know about. Episode 4 introduced somebody named Connors, another pro hockey player who rooms with his fellow teammate, played Ilya, played by Connor Story, who's there on the right. But the news is that this actor, Harrison Brown, is transgender and played pro hockey. So he was a pro hockey player from 2015 to 2018. He played in what was formerly known as the National Women's Hockey League. And after he came out, he became the first openly transgender athlete in professional team sports in North America.
There will be a season 2 of Heated Rivalry. It will not. They're writing it now because they had no idea they would need a season 2. So they're writing it. They will start shooting it in a year.
And Jacob Tierney, the producer, has been greenlighted to produce another series for Netflix on the Athenian Empire crumbling. It's called Alexander. So that'll be gay.
The GLAAD Awards will air on Hulu on starting on March 21st. So if you want to see, there are a lot of other, of course, since it's the GLAAD Awards, LGBTQ awards, but Hulu is where you can see them March 21st and beyond.
Are you an aspiring LGBTQ filmmaker? Well, a bunch of celebrities want to help you. Alan Cumming, Bowen Yang, Lena Waithe, and producer Adam Goldman. They're launching something called the Necessary Foundation, a nonprofit aimed at helping the next generation of LGBTQ filmmakers. The Necessary Foundation. They're going to make grants initially of $20,000 to early career LGBTQ filmmakers.
In June, Amazon Prime and Apple TV will air a documentary called The Hockey Player, which is about Luke Prokop, who we've talked about here, out gay hockey player in the American Hockey League. Edmonton has a boyfriend, had heart surgery. Look for that. We'll remind you at the time. Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir, so popular on the Olympics and the Traitors, are being talked about as having a daytime show on NBC replacing Kelly Clarkson. We'll see if that happens. It's a rumor at the moment. And we mourn the death of Monty Rock III, who was one of the first flamboyant performers on TV. He defined flamboyant. He could do nothing, but he was very popular among the talk show hosts for making a fool of himself on TV. Anyway, that's
gay.
Very gay. Had a longtime partner, but has now died, and was really a seminal figure in flamboyance early on in the 60s and 70s. So that's it for this week. We will be back with Gay USA next week.